I'm going to dive straight in, if that's all right. If I start talking about something else, we could go on for ages. So we're going to continue in our series today on the commands of Jesus. So today's one, as you can see, is love me. So I just want to be clear, that's love Jesus, not me. So as a reminder, we've had the introduction. We've looked at how Jesus commands that we be born again. He commands that we repent. He commands that we come to him. And he commands that we believe in him. And we've actually seen, to allow the Spirit to stir our hearts a little bit here, we've seen how by the remarkable grace of God, in Jesus by the Spirit, God himself empowers what he commands. That's life in the Spirit. That's life in the new covenant. And it's almost too good to be true. But it's good because it's true. So let me give you a couple of examples from the ones we've looked at. In the command from Jesus that we be born again, we've seen that how Jesus himself empowers the new birth. So we were dead, and you can't do a lot in that state. Jesus came and rescued us and caused us to be born again. So he himself empowers that which he commands. Another example is the command to repent. And we found that repentance is actually a gift from God. And it begins with God. And then we respond by turning to him and receiving him, receiving salvation. And then as believers, we live a life of ongoing repentance as he transforms us. In the command from Jesus to come to him, we found that through Christ, God has removed every obstacle that was in the way of us coming to him. Isn't that amazing? Because oftentimes we can hear that Jesus commands us. But actually, in the heart of God, the grace of God in Christ, he says, come to me, and he's removed every obstacle. So when you become born again, you repent, you become a believer, you become in Christ, that the Apostle Paul said so much, is his favorite term for Christians, was in Christ. When you're in Christ, God has removed every obstacle, which means it doesn't matter what's happened. Once you've believed, you're in the family and you can come to him about anything. Every obstacle has been removed. It doesn't mean that life is always straightforward and not challenging, but he always says, come to me. And he daily calls us to himself. As his mercy is new every morning. So we actually can come to Jesus. I think that's huge. And finally, in the command from Jesus to believe in him, we found that to believe in Jesus is to be saved, and he himself empowers that salvation. So we find that God is working in us. God is doing these things. And actually, the ongoing belief in Jesus is drinking his living water by the Spirit through the Word. So these commands become a joy. It's like, believe in me, says Jesus. Drink my living water. That's good news. And so now this week we are looking at the command of Jesus to love him. And Jesus commands us to love him. He says, love me. So we're going to look at that together for a few moments this morning. I'm going to read three scriptures because we're doing a more thematic method here. So Jesus says in Matthew 10:37, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Challenging words there. He says in Mark 12:30, I'm sure many of us are familiar with this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And Christ, Jesus Christ, is God in the flesh. And then finally, John 8:42, Jesus says to the people, If God were your Father, you would love me. So if God is our Father, we'll love Jesus. And he says, for I proceeded and came forth from God. So what does it mean to love Jesus? So keeping with this amazing grace of God that is characterized by life in the Holy Spirit, the amazing truth is that God himself provides us with the love by which we are to love him with. It's not something we're trying to work up. I must love God. Of course I've got to love God. The Bible says love God. Actually, when you find out life in the Spirit, when you become saved, God initiates that. He provides that love. And then we respond in love in communion. And we've seen that theme, as I've mentioned in the introduction, that Jesus empowers that which he commands. The Apostle John writes in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. And so when he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength, we can only do that when God does a work in us. And it begins with God. And he himself empowers us to love him. He causes it to be possible. We come to him dependent, broken, weak. And we say, Lord, help me love you. And as you navigate, follow Jesus through the Word and the Spirit, through life, through fellowship, through church life, you find out that the Spirit himself is empowering that love for him. Because you enter into union with the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean we become God. It means we become into the family. We belong to God. We're in union with God by the Spirit. He who is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. So loving Jesus is about having a God-empowered and Spirit-filled deep affection for Jesus. It's deep fellowship with Jesus. It's communion with Jesus. It's friendship with Jesus. It's on the road to ongoing radical obedience with Jesus. Obedience to Jesus. And we look to him as our Lord and Savior. We're in relationship with him. And it's walking with Jesus through the ups and downs of life. And saying, Lord, your will be done, not mine. And his will, ultimately, is the best. And even though we might not experience that in this life all the time, ultimately, God's will is the best. It always is the best, but we might not always see it, is my point there. And it's loving Jesus, following him, coming to him, enjoying him, obeying him through the mountains and the valleys of life. And our love for Jesus may involve more than deep affection, but it's not going to be less than that. So you may remember that to help us navigate through the commands of Jesus, I've chosen to see how each command is tough, how each command is tender, and how each command demands a response. So tough, tender, and response. So what is tough about the command to love Jesus? I'll give us three things. Number one, it's tough to hear a command to love. I mean, as I said before, it's tough to hear a command about anything for us, isn't it? but to hear a command to love, it's like, that's strange. It's surely Jesus can't command emotions. Secondly, it's tough because this love has to exceed our love for our nearest and dearest. That's tough, isn't it? And number three, it's tough because our love for Jesus is to be more than just good deeds for him. So number one, it's tough to hear the command to love, isn't it? Surely Jesus can't command emotions, but the reality is that in the scriptures he does. He commands us to love. He commands us to rejoice. He commands us to be blessed. He commands us to be happy in that sense. He commands us and ongoing to forgive. And one reason this is tough to hear is because when you hear the command to love, it actually reveals the corrupt and sinful aspect of our humanity that still remains, which means we find it hard not to do what we ought to do. So we ought to love him always, right? All the time. Jesus is worthy of our love all the time. But we don't, because we have the sinful aspect of our humanity, the core of our being in Christ, yet we have this flesh, the body, sinful desires still lingering around. We ought to rejoice always, but we don't. I mean, unless it's just me. We ought to forgive always. The reality of our forgiveness should quash any suggestion that you can't forgive anyone of anything. But because of the sinful aspect of our humanity, as I like to say, that we don't always do that. Like, we've got a massive plank in our own eye and a speck in others. But how many times do we think, well, I have got a little speck, but I think I'm going to intervene and get rid of the plank out of that person's eye. Yeah, Jesus is a genius. He knows the human condition. And we find it tough to hear and tough to do, because the sin nature lingering, telling us to love. Love me, says Jesus. And the good news is that that points us to the need of a new heart. And so if you're not born again, if you haven't repented, if you haven't believed in Jesus and come to him, this command reveals the need that you need Jesus. And it also, as believers, reveals our need to keep coming to him to meditate and know and experience the reality of our new heart in Christ. We have to keep coming back day after day to get our daily bread. And it shows that we need Jesus. But Jesus has come to give us a new heart that is able to love him, that is able to rejoice, that is able to forgive. And we go on, like that seed has been planted in us, we become born again, and we go on growing, we go on being transformed, and we go on fighting and killing our sin in the power of his grace. And then we look forward to that day where ultimately sin will be eradicated from all reality, and we'll be in paradise forever. So we've tasted that, and that's our destination. But we've got a few laps of the track to go. And it just reveals how dependent we are on Jesus. And sometimes that's tough to hear. I mean, sometimes it's good to hear, I am dependent on Jesus, I trust him. But when you realize you can't love God without God, it's like, depend on you again, Jesus. And you think, surely he's not going to take me back this time. And you come to him, and then you remember that he's removed every obstacle. And you come to him, and he empowers you to love him. But that can be tough. And it's tough, number two, because the love for Jesus is to be greater than our love for our nearest and dearest. And I thought, that's a tough one, isn't it? When he says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You think, wow. And the reality is the love that we have for those closest to us is not simply an act of the will, is it? There's something else going on. There's a deep affection for those closest to us. And it can be tough to hear from Jesus when he says those words. So we are to love Jesus more than this deep affection for our loved ones. And I'll say a little bit more about that in a moment. Number three, my point there is just tough. Number three, it's tough because our love for Jesus is to be expressed in more than just good deeds. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And Jesus is saying that keeping his commandments and obeying him come from our love for him. And that can be tough to hear, that the work we do for Jesus is to come out of a love for him. Our work for Jesus is not simply a duty or an obligation. What we do for Jesus is to be empowered by our love for him. And that can be tough if our love has run dry. And first we love him, and then we do what he says. And love is the root of keeping his commandments and obeying him. Because we don't just want to do it because we feel obliged and follow Jesus and do things for Jesus. It's because we love him. And that can be tough to hear, that Jesus wants us to obey him because we love him, not because we feel we have to, or even that sense where we feel like we need to pay God back in some way. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. You think the magnitude of what Christ has done. Well, now I'm a Christian, and I need to start, you know, working hard to pay God back. This is crazy what God has done for me. I've got to work hard to somehow pay him back. And that's not what he wants. He wants us to obey him because we love him. And it's out of a love for God that we want to obey him. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So there's probably more to say about the toughness of this commandment, but they're the three things. But it's also tender. And this is, I think I must admit, it's my favourite part, the tender bit. You know, we prefer the tender to the tough, don't we? But, you know, we have to engage with both. But this command is tender because love for Jesus is empowered by Jesus. And it's empowered by Jesus when he gives us three things. So as a believer, if you're in Christ, you've been given a new nature. You've been given new eyes, and you've been given a new perspective. So in Christ, that's happened. Now, how much you engage with those things is part of the life of transformation of following Jesus. But it's happened. You've been positioned in Christ, and we need to keep reminding ourselves what that means. And it probably means many more things, but I've identified we've been given a new nature. We love Jesus out of the new nature that God himself gives us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If you work hard enough to get it. No, that's not what it says, is it? The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Next verse says, all this is from God. All this is from God. God did it. Some of this is from God. Doesn't say that. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us this ministry of reconciliation, this ministry and empowerment to tell others about Jesus. And the apostles urge people, be reconciled to God. That's your number one. Be reconciled to God. And Jesus himself causes us to have a new nature, the whole new covenant piece. A new heart, a new beginning leading up to eternity. And out of a new nature, we're given new desires. So when you become a Christian, a believer in Christ, God gives you the desire to do the right thing. So now it's not a case of I need to do the right thing. up here, as important as head knowledge is, the Spirit himself gives us new desires, which is why the biggest miracle of all is salvation. And I love signs, wonders and miracles, and I think we should pursue those things and pray for healing and those kinds of things. But the biggest miracle of all is that I was dead and now I'm alive, and now I even have a seed, a desire to please God. I want to please God. And what tenderness that we can linger in that place where we are given new desires to love God. And we're given new desires that came from God. So as I understand the scriptures, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't desire to love him. But now I do desire to love him. Now I know that it's come from God, that I'm saved. And now I look to please God and love God from that place. It came from God. That's living life in the Spirit. That's being under grace. The last word over our lives now as Christians is grace. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you. That doesn't mean you don't wrestle with sin. It means the last word, the dominion, the word of dominion over your life is grace in Christ Jesus. And that's because of God. And now in that place, the new desire, I want to please God. I want to love God. So if you think about the love that we have for our nearest and dearest, as I said, I've mentioned that again, it must be a supernatural act of God for the love of Jesus to be greater than that love. Because I think one of the things Jesus is pointing out is that see how great the love of God is. He's not saying stop loving your mother and father or your sons and your daughters or those closest to you. Just ignore them and love me. He's saying, see how great my love is. Because you know that deep affection you have for those closest to you. Come and explore a greater love. Because it doesn't mean that we don't love those closest to us. It means that with a new nature, we get to experience a greater, eternal, deeper and more powerful love in Jesus. And actually, we are empowered to love those closest to us more the more we experience the love of Jesus. And in becoming a new creation, God causes us to be in the family of God. So we experience being part of a bigger and wider eternal family in the family of God. And if his love is greater than the love we have for those closest to us, how great is the love of Jesus? And our hearts aren't they, that those closest to us would be joining us in the eternal family, which is why we yearn for them to follow Jesus. Because we know there's a bigger love happening. There's a bigger reality happening. There's an eternal picture. There's an eternal reality. As much as the importance of this life and things that happen, they're not irrelevant. But ultimately, it's about the eternal family of God and living in paradise forever. So he's given us a new nature. Secondly, he's given us new eyes. In his tenderness, Jesus has given us new eyes. And one aspect of how we've been given new eyes is that God has opened our eyes to see that joy of the fact that he first loved us. It's his doing. He instigated it. He inspired us to follow him. And when he opens our eyes to see that, the eyes of our heart seeing this reality that he loved us first. We didn't love him first. So if you know the love of God, God did it. And God came to rescue you. And I don't think we should pass over these things. I mean, I'm throwing them out there as 3 points. But these are things we need to linger in. I only know the love of God because he loved me first. Jesus says to his disciples in John 15, you did not choose me. But I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. So it doesn't mean he chose us and it's all God and then we just get to sit there and do nothing. He wants to bear fruit through us. But Jesus says, if you don't abide in me, you can't do anything. So we need to know that we are abiding in Jesus. We need to know that he chose us. He rescued us. We were dead. Now we're alive. We couldn't do anything. He's caused us to be born again and to repent and to believe and to come to him and love him. He's caused that reality. And now let's have the fruit of Christ born through us in our lives, in our workplaces, in our schools, universities, homes, not just in the 2 hours we meet, in our whole lives. Let's, as we've talked before about J. John saying, how fruity are you? We want to be trees with loads of lush fruit around us. You know, there's a reality we have to accept that there's a few bits on my tree, a few rotten apples. But if you ignore them long enough, they'll just fall down. Let's think about the fruit of Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit. And then again, when we look at our trees, we think, wow, I'm really dependent on Jesus here. But that's all right. We're all dependent on Jesus. Without him, we can't do anything. So we love because he first loved us. And when you have new eyes to see that, everything you do changes. Because without Jesus, we're nothing. He came to us first. He reached out to us first. And he opens our eyes wider and wider to reveal to us that it was him that chose us. We are chosen and accepted because of him first. Number three, a new perspective. We are given a new perspective. We're given a new nature. We're given new eyes and we're given a new perspective. And to get a bit more specific, we love Jesus when Jesus gives us this new perspective again and again of his forgiving love for us. Even though we were sinners, Jesus forgives. There's that story in Luke's Gospel where, I can't read it all now, but there's a strict religious teacher and he shows himself to love Jesus a little bit, and his little love in this story is compared to the great love of a sinful woman for Jesus, and she demonstrates this great love by pouring ointment on Jesus' feet and wiping his feet with her hair. And this strict religious teacher didn't like the woman acting this way. And in that story, Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. And what he's saying in there is the reality of when you see how much you've been forgiven, you have a new perspective. When we experience the depravity and depth of our sin and rebellion against God, and then we come to Jesus and we realize that he's released us from that, you get a new perspective. And that happens initially in salvation. And then that new perspective grows as we follow him. When our hearts are broken because of our sin, we know we missed the mark. We know we weren't perfect. And we come to him and we see and taste this incomparable love. And in that love, there is forgiveness. So we taste the forgiveness of his forgiving love. And the more we see this, the more we love him. The more we see this, how much we've been forgiven, and you experience the sweet forgiveness of Jesus. When you see who he engaged with, and he was about the heart. He loved the fact this woman who had been living a sinful life, but she knew she was broken. She knew she'd missed the mark. She knew. But she knew forgiveness, and she knew who Jesus was, and she worshipped him. And it gives you a new perspective in life. What tender, forgiving love Jesus offers us. So it's tough, this command. It's tender. Now we come to our response. How do we respond to all of this? We can respond by asking ourselves one question. I mean, there's probably loads of ways to respond. But we can ask ourselves one question. And that question is there fruit in my life that reveals I love Jesus? Is there fruit in my life that reveals I love Jesus? How do we know if there's fruit in our lives that reveals we love Jesus? At least three ways. I can count to more than three, you know. But there's three ways we can know. Number one, this love will produce the fruit of obedience. As we said before, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands. We will want to obey Jesus. Now, we might not always manage it, but there's a desire there. Jesus, I want to do the right thing. And sometimes you find out the right thing is the hardest thing, so you put it off. But that desire is there. That's the fruit of loving God. That's the fruit of being in Christ. You want to obey Jesus. And the amazing thing is that we don't always manage it. But one thing I've learned in my relationship with God over the years, and the Word and the Spirit, and is that we are standing on the foundation of Christ's perfect obedience as born-again believers. So we obey Jesus from that place. So Christ is the one who obeyed perfectly. None of us can obey God perfectly. Jesus did that absolutely perfectly, sinless, total obedience to God in every way. And when you become born again in Christ, you stand on and in that foundation of perfect obedience. Then from that place, you look to obey. And so you're not obeying God, and then hopefully, will I make it? Christ has already done that. The all-sufficiency of Christ. Now we're standing on his perfect obedience. We obey from that place. And as we walk that walk in our hearts, we will want to keep obeying Jesus. We will want to know what he commands. What does Jesus require of me now I'm saved? Now I'm in the family. What's the family business all about? We want to know. We want to seek those things out. And again, don't get into works, because Christ has already finished. He's completely done that. We are depending on the foundation of the obedience, perfect obedience of Christ. But we still want to be bearing fruit. We still want to obey. And if that desire is in you to obey Jesus, you're in the love of God. And the desire to obey will be in our heart as we're a new creation. We've been made a new creation. We'll want to obey Jesus. So number one, this love will produce the fruit of obedience. Number two, this love will cause us to fulfill the ministry he gives us. So if you remember, there's a man in the Bible called Peter. He was a disciple of Jesus, and he seriously let Jesus down. And then Jesus restores him back to himself. And Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. So Peter's ministry. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. And the point I want to make from all that is that the love of Jesus will cause us to fulfill the ministry that he's given us. And so we want to obey him and engage in ministry because we love Jesus. That will be a fruit. And thirdly, this love will cause us to want to see Jesus honored and blessed. We want to see Jesus made much of. We want to see Jesus known. We want to see him honored and blessed. So Jesus says regarding honored, "Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." So if we love Jesus, there will be the fruit of that desire to want to see Jesus honored. We want to see his name lifted up. That means we want to see Jesus respected. And we want to see Jesus held in high esteem. And we want to see Jesus in his rightful place as Lord. Now we know he is in his rightful place as Lord, but we want to see that known and talked about and respected and revered. And we want to see Jesus worshipped to honor him. And we want to see Jesus blessed. When Jesus is talking to his disciples about going away, he says, "You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." So the point is there, if we love Jesus, we want to see Jesus happy. He was going back to his Father. And it's challenging, but that's where Jesus was going, challenging for the disciples. And he was about to die on the cross and raise from the dead. And they were going to have to walk through that. But what we can glean from that is that we want to see Jesus happy. We want to see Jesus blessed. So may Jesus be honored and blessed among us. So as we come to pray, let's just yield afresh to the Lord. And Holy Spirit, come and minister to us, I pray. I just wanted to share that. I want us to consider the truth, as I've been leaning into this week, that it honors and blesses Jesus when we enjoy him. Jesus is honored and blessed in many ways, but one way Jesus is honored and blessed is when you and I enjoy fellowship with him. And when you and I enjoy fellowship with him because we love him, Jesus wants us to enjoy him, and he wants us to do that because we love him. And actually, God in Christ by the Spirit, this wonderful Trinity, God takes pleasure in us enjoying him. And he takes pleasure in us enjoying him because we love him. And that communion, that receiving and giving of God's love, receiving the love of God by the Spirit, giving it back to the Lord, receiving the love of God by the Spirit, giving it back to the Lord, receiving the love of God, giving it back to the Lord, and that wonderful abiding communion in the presence of God, in the presence of the resurrected King. And there are so many other things in this world, so many really important things that we have to walk through. But let's get our universe with Christ a place of enjoyment. Because it will change your perspective, it will change your heart, it will change the way you see when you see that in Christ you are acceptable to him. And not only that, imagine God writes on a piece of paper, "You are acceptable to me." That would be good enough, right? We're like, wow, thanks. But then to go deeper and know that God himself takes pleasure in the reality that you are acceptable to him in Christ. It pleases the Father for you to commune with the Son. The Father is pleased when he sees his only Son and his adopted child dancing and playing and enjoying and crying and following and having relationship with. And all this is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I pray that each and every heart in the sound of my voice would receive a fresh perspective. I thank you, Lord, that as believers we've been given a new heart already. We've been given a new nature, new eyes, a new perspective. Lord, help us to see what we've been given. And Lord, I pray for anyone in this room or anyone who can hear me, Lord, that doesn't know you. Lord, would you cause them to be born again? Would you intervene in the ways that only you can? And would you cause them to cry out to you, Lord? And Lord, I pray that we would live with the perspective that you don't just call us your children. You take pleasure in calling us your children. You take pleasure in calling us righteous. You take pleasure in calling us accepted. And Lord, you love it when we enjoy that truth. And Lord, we can't do this without you. So would you fill us with your Spirit. Empower our hearts, Lord, to see who we are in you, to see who you are in us. And I pray you would fill us again and again. And I pray we would experience that pleasure. We would actually feel the pleasure of God by the Spirit. Father, we would actually taste, see and experience the pleasure that you take in our communion with your Son. Lord, fill our hearts. Heal our hearts. Mend the broken places. Patch us up, Lord. And I just pray your love would fill us. Being filled with your Spirit, Lord, is being filled with your love. So would you fill us to overflowing, Lord, that we would not only receive, but we would be of good character, and we would follow you, we would obey you because we love you, and that others would eat good fruit from our tree. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I think that's a good place to close the service. Just remember that we have lunch today. And if you're a guest with us today, you are invited to that lunch as well. So do please stay for that. I believe there's plenty of food. I'll bless the food for us when we go in there. We'll find out if it's ready. So I'll just give us a blessing. I pray, Lord, you would bless us and keep us. I pray that you would make your face shine upon us and be gracious to us. I pray you would turn your face towards us and give us peace, now and forever. Amen.